7:24, welcome back to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson wants to beef up security at federal buildings. The move comes after a gunman opened fire at Canada's National War Memorial in Parliament just a couple of weeks ago. But more security means a greater workload for the Federal Protective Service. And reports from the Government Accountability Office show the small agency isn't always prepared for the latest threats. Mark Goldstein is Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues at GAO. He joins us now. Mark, good morning. Good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Sure. Good morning. Glad to be here.
All right. So the GAO has been pretty tough on the Federal Protective Service, and I guess by extension, the Homeland Security Department, for a long time now. What's your concern here? Can they take on what Jay Johnson is asking of the Federal Protective Service?
We think they can take on greater responsibility, certainly, and government probably needs them to if we're going to ensure that the people who work in and come to our public buildings are safe and secure. But it's going to take extended effort on their part. We have, over a number of years, suggested that they make improvements in how they manage their contract guard operations as well as their risk assessment program. Many of the things we've recommended have yet to be implemented, and so it will take additional effort and management and focus on their part to achieve those goals.
It seems like one of the biggest shortfalls is in the training, regular development of the contracting workforce that is most of Federal Protective Service. Any sign that they're making progress in getting more people trained up to the levels necessary for what's becoming more and more complex type of job?
Difficult to know the answer to that. They have told us that they are committed to increasing and improving the training that guards get, and they are in the works of putting together a broader, more sophisticated training program that will try to reach more of the contract guards. But at this point, there still remains quite a number of contract guards and guard companies for whom the basic training on magnetometers and X-ray machines, active shooter training and things like that have not been completed.
Because you have had instances where people have, from GAO, I believe, investigators have been able to get, fake copies of bomb-type materials, one by one, past the guards. And you've also had cases where, well, as you say, they don't know exactly what they're doing with some X-ray and magnetometer equipment. Relative to, say, 5 years ago, is it at least better than when these first reports started coming out?
We can't say that it's better. It's very difficult to tell. We do know that, based on the last work that we've done, that quite a number of guards in the guard companies that we looked at still did not have basic training. This was training that they promised that they would do after the penetration testing that you mentioned was done in 2008. Where we took bomb-making materials and went into 10 level 4 federal buildings in 4 cities. After we did that work, the Federal Protective Service indicated to us that they would increase the training that their guards got, but we still continue to find significant lapses in that area.
Does Homeland Security have a baseline requirement of training that each guard should have? Is there at least a reference point that they can measure their contractors against?
Yes, each contract guard that's employed needs to have a certain level of training on basic kinds of issues ranging from magnetometers to firearms to CPR, a whole variety of things that they need in order to stand post. One of the things we found is that the contract guard companies, which self-certify most of these trainings, can't assure the Federal Protective Service that they've had all the qualifications and trainings required for all of these guards, and the Federal Protective Service itself is not in a position to be able to oversee the contract guard force in a way that they have assurance that the guard companies they're employing have received adequate training. Every time we look at contract guard files to see whether or not guards have had adequate training, we find significant lapses. And the last time we did it, we found that 23% of the guard files we looked at were missing, significant items of documentation, screener training, CPR certification, firearms qualifications. So there continues to be quite a number of questions about whether the people standing post in federal buildings actually are qualified to be there.
We're speaking with Mark Goldstein. He's the director of physical infrastructure issues at the Government Accountability Office. And relative to, say, the training that TSA officers get, is it roughly the same? Do you know?
We looked at a number of different agencies, and it's pretty comparable to other agencies where contract guards are standing post at, say, a public building. So to take sort of make similar comparisons, oranges to oranges, it is very similar. The question is the oversight and management of that system and whether the training and qualifications are actually being obtained.
And are Federal Protective Services guards, are they armed in general?
Most of them are. Some are not, but most are. It depends in part on the building itself, on the contract, on a number of various issues. But most are, yes.
And Jay Johnson hasn't been specific about even which buildings will get this increased security or what the increased security measures will be specifically. So that must make it hard to assess whether FPS is up for this at all also.
Well, I think, as I indicated at the top of the program, I think that FPS is up to the job if they are willing to improve their oversight and management of their contract guard force, if they are willing and able to improve the risk management process by which they determine which federal buildings require enhanced countermeasures to protect them, and whether they are going to be able to use their own federal police force, their inspectors, to actively manage the contract guard workforce.
And what about this guard workforce itself? I mean, besides the training, is there sufficient oversight of the background of the people that are coming into that work? Do we know what goes on, you know, before they're hired even?
We have not looked specifically at the background checks of the people who are employed by the contract guard companies. We do know that in some instances when we've looked at documentation, that documentation also has been absent as part of the overall requirement for the kinds of qualifications they need. But we haven't looked specifically at that issue.
But it's possible that people that should not be guards could become guards or are guards now.
Theoretically, but as I say, we've not looked at that.
All right, so what do you think that FPS should do first in order to, let's assume there is an increased workload that will be measurable, what is the first or two or three things that you think that the Federal Protective Service needs to do immediately?
Well, we think that they need to improve the risk management process so they can determine which public buildings really require enhanced countermeasures to ensure adequate protection. This is something we've said for a number of years. And the FPS is still really unable to do that across the portfolio of public buildings. Each building they look at, they do in a stovepipe fashion, and you can't, of course, bring every single building up to the same exact standard because each building has a certain and different level of protection requirements. And, of course, we don't have limitless resources to be able to do that. So they need to understand what to protect in their portfolio. At the right level. Second, they need to ensure that their contract guards truly are trained. It doesn't make sense to, say, increase the sensitivity of a magnetometer or an X-ray machine if the guard standing there doesn't know how to use the machine to start with. And then third, they need to make sure that the inspectors, the federal police officers, if you will, are doing their job to maintain and ensure that the guards are actually standing post, that they have their qualifications, that they, the inspectors themselves, are doing the work they need to do at the public buildings for which they're responsible.
It's probably worth someone from that agency going down to the new One World Trade Center to see how they do things, because that's got to be the most secure building in America at the moment.
Well, I think they have looked at a variety of comparative buildings, and I know they have over time talked to a number of other agencies to help them try to improve how they do their work. So that might be something they should do, yes.
All right, Mark Goldstein is Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues at GAO. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll post a link to this interview later this morning, and as well as to some of those other GAO reports at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. 7:34. And still to come on Federal News Radio, a letter to Congress could grant more whistleblowing rights to intelligence contractors. But first, don't underestimate the contracting officer. That's the advice in week three of our series with contracting veteran Tim Sullivan. This is The Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.